is Orinir with APN, and I'm speaking with James Besser. Jim Besser, my friend and colleague for many years, who has just retired from the New York Jewish Week, where he was the Washington correspondent for many, many years, 24 years or something like that.
24 years.
24 years, Jim. And I wanted to talk to him a bit about his farewell column, which was really interesting. It was a collection of observations, basically, summing up, but a collection of observations about how things have changed since he started in the early 80s, covering the intersection between the organizational Jewish community and Washington politics. And Jim, one of the things that you pointed to, which I thought that interesting, was that although the Jewish community as a whole is not necessarily turning right, either on Israel or domestically, you do observe that the organizational Jewish community is moving. There is a move to the right.
Well, I think there has been there is a growing gap between the rank and file and the leadership of the Jewish community, but it's also a gap between the rank and file and the activist community. I'd like to make the distinction between a minority of Jews who are very actively involved on the Israel issue across the political spectrum, but that's a primary interest of them, and a much larger majority for whom this is a very secondary issue. And among that activist community, the leadership is clearly turning to the right. Probably that community itself, that segment of the Jewish community itself, is turning more conservative on most of these issues. They still represent a minority of the American Jewish community, but that majority, which tends to be more dovish on Israel issues and tends to be more liberal on domestic issues, is also not as involved and is not as focused on this as the primary issue of political interest for them. So there, the gap works on multiple levels, and I think it's widening. And the other aspect of it is money. Jewish organizations have become more and more dependent on very small groups of givers, and those givers, who tend to be much more affluent than the average Jewish citizen, tend to be more conservative. They tend to be more Israel-focused, and on Israel issues, they tend to be more hawkish. So, I see that as sort of an understandable shift, in the sense that it's well documented that American Jews in general are disaffiliating. They're becoming less involved in Jewish organizational life, and probably less focused on Israel. And as a result, these organizations have become much more dependent on these small groups of very wealthy people whose views on these issues are probably not really closely in sync with the views of the Jewish majority.
Mm-hmm. Another phenomenon that you point to, which actually may dovetail with the first phenomenon we talked about, is that the discussion on Israel has actually become less sophisticated. You would expect it, perhaps, with the multitude of information channels that we have, information sources, that the discussion would become more sophisticated. But you say it is not. Why is that?
Well, I believe it's several things going on. In part, it's a natural response to the complexity of the issues. I mean, these are such enormously complex issues, and there's so few clear solutions on the horizon. People naturally gravitate toward sort of packaged solutions. You're to the right, so you believe X, Y, and Z, or you're to the left, and you believe A, B, and C.
What you've done toward the end of your career with the New York Jewish Week was you were in charge of digital media. The introduction of digital media has had anything to do with the dumbing down of the discussion?
Well, I think it has. The irony is that we have access to vastly greater information than we've had in previous generations, and yet what we see more and more is the dissemination of absolute nonsense or just angry ideology. So I think it has had a dumbing down effect to a great degree. It also magnifies the voices of those who are the least interested in serious discussion and the least interested in discussing the incredible complexity of these situations. It magnifies the voices of those who want to, who offer simplistic and very often angry solutions. And the other part of this is that, you know, the American Jewish community is part of the broader society. And we're seeing this dumbing down and this, you know, the politics of anger and identity politics becoming pervasive throughout our political system. It's not just the Jewish community. We like to think of ourselves as totally, as somehow different and apart, but in a most senses, we're very much a part of the broader political environment, and this political environment is turning toward the politics of rage, and we certainly see that in the Jewish community.
On the other hand, for many years, what I think has plagued the Jewish media in the United States is that most of the voices, most of the news organizations were not truly independent in the sense that most of them are dependent on the local federations. And the question is if this, you know, multitude of news sources now, Jewish news sources, many of them are actually independent, has changed this trend and maybe introduced new independent voices. How do you see that?
Well, you know, everybody's struggling in the news business. And we have, you know, a substantial number of traditional Jewish newspapers that are struggling. We have a variety of new news sources that range from, you know, the journalistically responsible to, you know, platforms for rumor mongers and rumor spreaders. So it's very much a mixed bag. I don't think it's going to take years for this to shake out and for us to really understand whether this new technology and this proliferation of new media has been good for democracy or bad for democracy. And at this point, I really don't know. I'm very ambivalent about it. I see a lot of damage caused by, and we see it in our own business. We end up chasing stories that turn out to be the product of some blogger's imagination. And sometimes those stories end up in print, and that's very negative. On the other hand, you know, I have access to vastly more opinion on the issues that I cover, and vastly more information. The problem is sorting it and filtering it and separating the responsible from the reckless.
I'd like to ask you one last question, and I'll preface it with a quick story. Before I came to APN, as you remember, Jim, I worked for The Forward, and when I started with The Forward, my editor said to me, look at Jim Besser's reporting at the Jewish Week, and that's the kind of material we want. So I went and actually met with Jim. We went to an ethnic restaurant. We both like ethnic food, and we talked, and I asked him for some advice. My question to you now is, if you were to talk to a novice here, to a young reporter reporting, writing for the Jewish media, what would you tell him where is the story, and maybe what are the underreported stories? Where would it be worthwhile for that person to focus on?
Well, I think in terms of the Jewish community, the underreported story is still the gap between is the plight of the Jewish organizations. Are these organizations representative of the community or not? And where is this broader community going? And how is this community disaffiliating? And what does this disaffiliation mean for the issues that have traditionally been the primary focus of the Jewish organizations, Israel, anti-Semitism, Jews in endangered situations, all these issues. And I think that gap, we talk about it a lot, but we've seen very little clear-headed reporting and on the issue, and we've seen very little polling that reveals it. The American Jewish Committee poll every year comes closest, and it does offer tantalizing hints about what's going on, but it seems to me that this bears both further academic study and a lot more journalistic investigation.
Jim, thank you very much. Thank you for 24 years of fascinating and highly professional reporting, and thank you for this interview.
Thanks a lot. I've enjoyed all those years.